You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Carlos, Ernesto, and Martin Bondone, welcome to Talk of Theater Friends. It's such a pleasure to be talking to both of you today. To get started, can you let our viewers and our listeners know what Odd Man Out is?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Odd Man Out is a very exciting, immersive experience in complete darkness. You go into a space and you are blindfolded and you experience the life of a blind man flying from New York to Argentina. And as you are in the space, you start feeling the world as he feels it. You hear, you smell, you taste, and you touch, but you don't see anything. And what occurs is on the flight that he's going on, he starts talking to his neighbors on the plane, and his memories start coming alive, and you start experiencing them as he does. And you find out why he's going to Argentina. And it's a beautiful, beautiful love story that we've created.
It's our first international production also in English and Spanish. And we are very proud about the result, because it's very challenging, the idea of talking about two different cultures, you know. And the story is also a story about how we can understand the world and how we can make a judgment about another person, about how the person is look and not in the reality of the people, no?
Right. It's basically a way of living in someone else's shoes and being able to elicit a sense of empathy in the audience. But it's really what's exciting about it for us, and when we created it, this is a story that can be experienced by almost anyone, sighted or not sighted, and they will be experiencing the world in the same way. So that's an exciting part of it for us.
Carlos, you said the key word. You said empathy, and all the arts, basically, you know, every art says that it's the ultimate way of achieving empathy. You know, painting does that, literature does that, theater does that, music does that. So I want you to go back in your lives, maybe when you were little. When did you figure out that theater specifically could become this empathy machine that you put into practice with your work?
Martin, I'll let you feel
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. I have been doing theater since high school. So when I went to Buenos Aires to study in the university, I started studying economics because I wanted to change the world using the economic tool. And then I started working in parallel in a theater as an actor. So I started living from the art and working in an NGO as an economist. So it's what the opposite of what normal is. And when I started working in Teatro Ciego, Blind Theater of Pitch Black, now it's the commercial name from Teatro Ciego in New York, I discovered a totally different world, and I started you know, doing theater with emotions and doing theater with a sense of the audience, you know, stimulating the perception, how the people react in this world. Normally, you are used to understand the world with your eyes, and what you see is normally the reality. But when I start working in this kind of immersive experience and immersive theater, I can understand how you can change the people's life. And it's not only about the people who go to the theater as an audience, because we work also with visually impaired actors. And it's also a life challenging for the people who start working in a profession that normally is not for people with disabilities, you know? I think the theater is something very human, very primitive, you know, because the first theatrical experience is maybe the cave, in the caveman talking the story about the hunting in the fire, you know. And this was the first theatrical play, and then the narration of about a story or something like this. It's very, very human, and it's one of the last way of arts that you need to have a human being to perform the show with these different technologies, the music and the cinema. It's more like more techy in these times. But theater remains very, you know, unique and real, and that make the people feel when attend to a theatrical play.
I mean, for me, it was very much, I was, much like Martin, I was a non-theater person. I initially started as a chemical engineer. I went to MIT to become a chemical engineer. And part of our requirements were that you had to take 8 classes of humanities, arts, and social sciences. And I was petrified of drama people, but my amazing friend, who was the president of my fraternity, her name was Samira Iyengar, and she's this incredible theater artist from India. And she's like, Carlos, you must take this acting class. You just must. And I'm like, but no. And I explained to her the trauma that I had, and she says, no. You have to understand. You're here to challenge yourself. You must do this. I said, okay, so I did it. And that became a minor, which turned into a major. That was not going to be a career, but then I directed a play for the first time. And what I was observing with this sense of empathy is that in my work as an engineer, all the work that I was doing was taking, I learned that it takes 4 to 8 years for your work to have any kind of impact on anyone. Whereas when I directed a play and suddenly I saw in 6 weeks or 3 weeks, and then boom, there was an audience that responded to what you were creating, and they were having a dialogue of it. And it was exciting to get a sense that people were seeing something different from and getting impacted differently than what I was doing. And that's what really made me want to do theater as well. I mean, knowing that, I guess I'm impatient. So I want to see people reacting quicker than, you know, pipetting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and see what happens. So that's, I like touching people, and I think it's much more immediate. Touching in a moving sense, and I like to get the sense of immediate response in some way. So that's the wonderful thing about theater for me.
In so many ways, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not encouraging people to drop their careers and go try to find something else. But in so many ways, the pandemic and this, you know, this time that we're living in have invited people to take a look at their lives and maybe realize, hey, I don't want to be doing this job anymore, so I'm going to try something else. So for those people that are watching and listening to this, I'm curious if, you know, in your case, Carlos, specifically about chemical engineering, and for you, Martin, my dad's an economist also, so trust me, I hear, I listen to a lot of economics talk, but I wonder if, you know, anything in this fields that you were doing before theater, did you find that you imported anything from chemical engineering and economics into how you make theater?
Yes. I think definitely. Because for example, for me, I am also a producer, because we are an independent organization here in Argentina, so we are like a little company. So and I am like an entrepreneur working in this kind of experience. It's like in a wild world, we are selling a service, you know, and it's very important, I think, to understand how the economy works. Because, for example, during the pandemic, we are not a small company, so a medium large company with 20 employees and a very not a big structure, because we pay the rent for the place, the space where we are working and everything. And I think when you have another formation, you have more open your vision. You can see things that normally people who only work in arts don't see, because it's very difficult to understand. For example, when you make a budget, when you hire some actor, or when you think, okay, this need to be selling, this need to be, you know, because normally when you are very passionate and when you do art, you don't think about the money. And you don't think about the because it's not the important thing. Because, for example, in my case, I quit a job, very good pay for working in theater. And it's like more like you need to understand that if you do the things thinking about the future and you have all the variables in mind, you can be successful. Here in Argentina, because the economy is very crazy, and also in another country that more important, for example, with Carlos, we are very similar way of thinking, because we have another skills, you know, and it's very important to have many different kind of skills to do something. Not only, for example, for Carlos says, if you want to be a chemical engineer, you need to be to work with your personality and how to who you speak to the people. It's very important to have different kind of skills.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where in creating theater, you get a sense of, in my background, it was always very much a understanding of clear delineated ways of attacking and problem solving that allows me to do that when I'm producing. And creating budgets and whatnot, you get a sense of that. But I noticed when I was working in engineering, I was so too exuberant in the world. So I felt like, oh my gosh, everybody feels intimidated or like overwhelmed by it, like my personality, and like need to find a home to do that. But and theater allows for that, which is exciting. But at the same time, what's great is that regulated ways of approaching problem solving really come to me when I'm creating a budget, or even like trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to make this thing happen? How are we going to make this live performance happen in a way that people can still access in a technological standpoint? And luckily, Martin has gone with his team and been able to create that. And I was also lucky when we were in the middle of a pandemic. I had an associate producer who was very tech savvy, and he was teaching me all about, you know, streaming mechanisms and how we can create live experiences that weren't based off of Zoom. It was more OBS, and be able to have virtual parties as opposed to, you know, just a Zoom party. It was much more complicated, but really cool and sexy about it. So I feel like the multi-hyphenate quality that Martin is talking about, and having more skills than just, you know, one thing, it's what one is allows me to become more nimble. If something falls apart, I have something else to fall back on, and I feel like that's what happened with you, Martin. I mean, you've dealt with shockwaves in your organization because of the economy and because of the pandemic, and you found incredibly creative ways to solve these things. The box experience was brilliant.
You made the sense. Tell about the story about you making the the perfumes in your home.
Yeah, very, yeah, remember? Very funny. Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that's so true. I forgot about that. Like, Like, so part of our experience is that we have to create these solutions to be able to, you know, create the scents and the aromas that everyone feels. I'm the one who knows how to do the volumetric expansion and understand the dilutions, because I know how to calculate that because I learned that a long ago. So it all came back.
I love that so much. And you know, like, there's two concepts that are just keep like buzzing in my head just listening to you speak. And it's, first of all, we have both economics and chemical engineering. There's an element of like trying to find how to make the random not be random and how to identify behavior. So think about random, you know, randomness, and also identifying behaviors. First, let's go with random. Like, how did someone, you know, you, Carlos, in New York, and you, Martin, in Cordoba, in Argentina right now, how did the two of you come together? How did you find each other?
There's a wonderful person that brought us together. His name is Malcolm March. He is a young producer. He was a young producer from Buenos Aires. And he, the story goes that Malcolm kept on, he emailed Martin and Teto Ciego like on their form, and like, you know, emailed again and emailed again. I want to work with you all. I want to do that. And finally, someone responded to him, and they got together, and he and Martin was interested in bringing the work from Argentina to New York. And Malcolm came to New York and said, I'm going to be the agent for this company in a way. I'm going to be the liaison. And he heard about me through a stage manager friend of mine when they were doing a workshop of something, because Malcolm is also an actor. And he said to me, he comes to me, he's like, I hear you do very weird things, Carlos. And I go, yeah, I create really weird theater. Yeah, if that's what you're, yeah. He's like, well, I've got something for you. And he started explaining to me this thing. And I'm like, this is brilliant. This has not been done here that I knew of at the time. I haven't heard of this kind of approach of creating a theater, any live experience. But what the heck is this? This is amazing. So I said, I need to go see it. Well, not see it, experience it, because you can't see anything. You can't. So I went down, and then I had small conversations with Martin over Zoom. I think it was like one or two. Then I went down and experienced all the shows, and Martin wasn't in Buenos Aires. He was in Cordoba doing his fabulous Cordoba thing. And I'm like, wait, I'm not going to meet the artistic director? And then we had one little Zoom meeting. And then it became this virtual thing for a bit. And then that's When I told him about, I experienced all these incredible stories, but I felt like they were so specifically Argentinian that I thought, I think we need to like create something different that's a meld of the two cultures. And that's what Odd Man Out ended up becoming.
Which is this nice. Is it, when you have an idea, normally we receive a lot of email talking about, I want to make this in some country, random emails, like, but it's very interesting for most for the people who are in the beginning of trying to do something real, or you know, making a company or a theatrical company or a company with a project that in another industry. It's very important to understand that ideas, we have a lot of ideas. The idea of making theater, immersive theater, or whatever you want to do, is very easy to imagine that. The most hard part is to do this idea in reality, you know, because we always want to make international productions from Teatro Ciego from Argentina to maybe New York or another country. It's very hard to make this idea real, you know, and most with those kind of, you know, the theater and theatrical companies, is we work with people. And it's very, very, very complicated to make all those teams together. We Carlos, in these 3 years, we have a lot of experience working with different people. And now we are like, you know, we understand all the process and all the thing that we need to do to make this idea reality. it's very complicated, and for me was very challenging, and I learned a lot of things, and a lot of things that I learned working with Carlos, I apply here in Argentina. So we are more mature and more, you know, stable company, capital company right now here in Argentina, thanks to the experience with Carlos and all the alliance to making Pitch Black immersive experience real, not an idea, you know?
Right, that's exciting to hear. That's exciting to hear. I mean, for me, when I was working with Martin, it was a different approach to business. You know, I was very hierarchical, and Martin was like, it's a communal experience. I'm like, no, it has to be this. And you're like, pero Carlos, you got to talk about this. I'm like, and so there was a way of being able to think about like hierarchies were different, and he and I are equal partners in this whole thing, and it feels like we're actually creating this in a very synergistic way. Well, for a big challenge for me is I speak Spanish and fluently, but I didn't speak business Spanish, and I didn't speak Argentine business Spanish, which is its own special thing. So I had to learn what that vocabulary was, and oh my God, that was a thing for me. So I appreciate the education, Martin.
Yeah, and more important, Cordobes from my region that we are.
Cordobes, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
It was very funny, but yeah. But it's very interesting to think that not only language, it's more about culture, because when we can talk the same language, but we think different, and it's very, very funny to understand that. When for me it was like, I took like a year to understand how the industry, the theatrical industry, works in the US. It was very, and that is very important to understand that maybe when you talk about an issue, the point of view are totally different, and the way of solving this issue is extremely different. So that would be a sort of wellness, because you have two extremely different point of view to solve the same problem. And the one of the things that I learned about the pandemic is how we are all connected, because the virus make the pandemic is, so this connection is like we are all humans, and we are all reacting to the same external factors. Yeah. And I think that we can talk about the arts and about the theater like a virus. And because the personal reaction and the personal emotion that make you in your body and with your sense is the same. And I can see that with Pitch Black and with Otman Out. How the people talk about the play, how the people react about the play, it's very similar when I read the articles and I read the reviews and how the people, and also the economical and artistic process of, you know, starting very, very slow, and when we said to the people that we are doing theater in the darkness, and what theater without light, what
yeah.
is you know, and the people are like, it's not so good because you have nothing to see. And it's very, you know, you see that and you, I say, okay, that's the only real thing is what we feel, not what we think. And it's very important to understand that when you are making arts, because we talk about how we produce the play, how we write the play, blah, blah, blah. But the most important thing is what the people feel when go to the theater. And that's it, real. This is not bullshit, you know?
Totally.
I was hoping, you know.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna say that our ways of thinking about approach of the work and how we connect to people, it was just a melding in a way that I didn't expect. Because I when I was introduced to the idea of how they create theater, then I'm like, that will never fly in this country in any way, shape, or form, just the way they pay people, the way they create the work. It's like, no, what they, it's just like this period and we got to do it this and people get paid like this. And I'm like, no, but we do it this other way. I'm like, and it's fine there. And it, but it, it's different here. So how do we find a way to come together? That was kind of exciting to be like, oh, okay, cool. I just feel like we're much more enriched by the connection of this experience.
Martina, you talked about something that's like key to all of this, obviously, and it's like theater is working with people. And for the two of you who I'm assuming, and I don't mean to be presumptuous, but for the two of you who are probably very comfortable dealing with the scientific method, I wonder if there are some behaviors and things that you have discovered about working remotely and working without being together, you know, like for you, Carlos, probably, you know, the energy that you lose by not being in the same room with people must be like wild. So I'm wondering if the two of you, by this new, very, you know, quickly learned method of working together, have you found new techniques and new behaviors that you're like, oh, I love this, I want to use this. You know, I would use this even if we were able to be in the same room together, working digitally and remotely.
I'd say, well, I guess in the business practice, I feel we weren't doing this before, and now we've really sort of instituted it in a weekly fashion of like weekly check-ins. So it's also because of how the business is growing, the fact that we realize that we have to plan for the year. And it, now it becomes like we're doing these meetings on an ongoing basis. It's not just, you know, once in a while when we think we should meet. It's like, no, every week we have to start thinking about that. And just a sense of like a continual check-in in various departments. That's a habit that's been exciting to have. I mean, because at Theater C, I mean, I've had the company for 12 years now, and it's always been me and a staff that I hire for each project. And now it's been exciting because now we have that, we have this larger organization that we have a staff, but that's an ongoing staff. And then, but Teatro Ciego has its own ongoing staff. And then how, what is that amalgam of the two? And that was, it's exciting to be able to create that foundation. And I've been learning a lot from Martin about just, you know, how to let go a little bit and how to delegate a little bit, because that's something that's always been like, I've had to do everything. In many ways, and now I feel like we have a team that knows how to become independent, and just report about what things are going on with, which is very, very great. So that's more like a non-technological thing, but that's still like a cultural thing that it's been a nice change for on my end of things. I feel like what I'd love to keep on trying to do if we keep creating these oral binaural experiences. Just, you can hire anybody from anywhere in the world and let's have a directing session and like record it, and we get the files and we create the soundscape independently. And we don't have to rely on actors who are in this space. And that's the freeing thing about this. I don't know if that's something that's been happening in other industries or even like in the creation of work. But it's been very liberating, very, very liberating on my end. So we can think like, do we know anybody? If I know somebody is in Guatemala, for example, well, let's get that person on and let's just do this thing. If the actor we want isn't available in New York, or even that we know in the States, boom, this other person could be there immediately. That's been exciting.
It's very interesting how internet is a revolutionary thing about the creation of, you know, working together in a virtual world. It's very important. I understand that it's a tool, because normally you know, it's a lot of people took the technology as an objective, or not that, you know, you feel, you see some theatrical play or something with a lot of technical, you know, special effects, and the message is very cool, you know. It's not, but I think, for example, for us, it was very, it's like learning a new language. It was, I think, the same process for me to understand how to write a play without using visual images. It was like a process, a cultural process, to understand how to tell something about a story or a situation without describe the images, you know, not the visual images, because you have sound images, smell images, and other sensory images. And it was very crazy in when we start working with the rehearsals, virtual rehearsal. No, we had 7 different countries simultaneously working together, talking together, making a play together, but in a virtual Zoom meeting. It was very crazy. And at the beginning it was awkward, you know, to talk with an actor between a screen. But when the day start, you know, a couple of days after that, it was like natural, you know. I was reading the script and talking about, hey, Gonzalo, do that. And I forget that we are in different, you know, places. Yeah. It's like being there. Because I think in some way it was easier for us to work like that, because we work with the voices of the actors. And, you know, maybe a more traditional theatrical play, you need the body of the actor and see how the actor moves in space and how he reacts to the dialogue with other actor, and it's more physical. When I was working as an actor, because now I'm more in the write and the writing and producing the plays, when I was a pitch black immersive actor, it was very crazy to dissociate the body from the speech. I was like more, it's a more mental way of doing acting. I was like, you know, and also with the audience, the people, we did a few record in the darkness, because we don't use special, you know, night vision glasses or something like that. But we did a few record for interviews or something. And the people who is attending to a theatrical play in the darkness is more in a fetal position, you know, like doing with the head, looking the floor and only hearing. And when I was acting, it was more like not thinking about how the people are looking at me, at my body. So I was more concentrated in the message and in the situation, and imagine that. And it's like being in another dimension, because you don't have the body, and the situation is not happening in a visual world. And with the Zoom meetings and talking in the script and with the play, it was more like this, because you don't need to see the other actor to understand, because I was with the headphones and hearing what all the actors are talking about the play. And it was easier because we are working in the dark or in the darkness with the play. But it was very challenging. And now we can, as Carlos said, we have not the, because there is a very funny meme that this meeting could be an email, you know, this meeting could be an email, yeah. Like, why the meeting? Because why I'm here, you can text me or something. With the Zoom meetings, it's the same. Normally in a pre-pandemic world, maybe when I used to live in Buenos Aires 10 years ago, and we need to take a bus 2 hours on the subway to be with a person in a company, talking about an idea, and then return to your home or to your office. Say, now you turn on the computer and you have a Zoom meeting. But in the pre-pandemic world, it was not the use, you know, the meeting. Now it's very, very common to do that. And it's more a cultural thing. It's the same with a theatrical play. When you talk about making a play in the darkness, is something about the our visual culture also, that surprise to the audience, and the people are very shocked about understanding a word without using the eyes, with using the sounds, smelling the play, smelling the situation, feeling the rain, feeling the wine. It's very crazy how the people react about not so very common way of decoding the word, you know,
the understanding. I mean, like what's interesting for when I experienced it for the first time, it was amazing walking into that space, for the first 5 minutes, it's uncomfortable. You feel a little, almost like you're slightly suffocating because you don't, you're wanting your eyes to see something and you can't. And then there comes to a point where you just let that go. But it's a point where you're like, what do you do? And people have gotten uncomfortable. People have walked out. They're like, I can't do this. And that's totally fine. And it's not for them, and that's okay. But what happens when you lean into it is kind of amazing, because suddenly you start creating your own visual story, just like when you're reading a book and you start creating what it would look like for you. That's what happens in this experience, as opposed to when you go see a play, you see what the intention was. And this is a completely different, that allows your imagination to go and wander, which is kind of exciting.
Okay, so the two of you are inviting people to try something that some of them have never tried before. So, you know, to get them used to that idea, I was hoping you could share something outside of work, you know, something that's not involving Zoom meetings and creating theater by digital means, something that you tried for the first time during the pandemic that you never thought you'd do before. And now you're like, okay, that was pretty cool.
Like a new event completely, a new experience.
Yeah, something you never thought you'd do before.
I mean, in a non-war situation, I learned how to cook really, really well. I made all these incredible dishes. I made beef bourguignon. I made coq au vin, and it was good. And then I had a Thanksgiving with coq au vin, and I did a Mrs. Maisel's brisket, and it came out amazing. Thank you. This was a little virtual. I mean, thank you, Binging with Babish, for like creating all these incredible videos of how to make these things. They're so good. But it became sort of I felt like I needed to have a sense of exploration of something I'm not used to. Like I know I can cook, but like I didn't know how to be very technical about cooking and making things that I'd never done before, that I took for granted, or I could just order. I found a way to be more human that way. And I felt like that was a wonderful thing that I discovered. I'm very thankful for that, because I keep on exploring that way.
For me it was like very crazy, because when the pandemic started here, it was the lockdown, was the 13th of March, 2020. And we lived together with my wife and my little child Camilo, and the general producer and the fiance, which is also a producer, come to my home to pick up the new van that we buy special for a tour, for 2 month tour in Patagonia. And it's they say, okay, we pick up the van and then start the trip. And they stuck in our house for 4 months, because the pandemic and the lockdown was very, very heavy here in Argentina.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting, because we have a little, you know, guest apartment in our house. I live more in the field, you know, in the country. And it was very interesting to make this community living way, you know. And it was also interesting, because I think this situation saved us or saved all our organization, because we were four producers, the theatrical producer, because my wife also is a producer and music producer, thinking about how to solve a problem about the pandemic, because we should close the theater and everything. it was like, I love the Apollo 13 movie when the spaceship, you know, it is broken and the engineer need to figure out how to make something that the oxygen can, you know, lower the trip and the spaceship can go to the Earth with the oxygen, okay, and not the tripulation died. And it come on, it's a very interesting scene that an engineer come and say, okay, we have this, we need to make the trip to here, and we have this tire. And it was the same, like we have, the oxygen for us was the money, you know, we have this amount of money, and we need to create something that sell for live, you know, to live the relationship. I think I understand how to think different in this situation. It was very interesting, very funny, very challenging. And it was my most important lesson in the pandemic, to understand that not matter how big is the problem, you need to think out of the box, and we create a box.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be nimble, and that's the thing that I got too. I mean, like, we had to think about things and be forced to think of things in ways that we weren't used to before, and it came to be like every time there was a new project that was coming along, like, okay, how are we gonna fix it? And let's come up with some ideas, and you just go that you're just not used to doing from before. So yeah, I mean, I think that the pandemic really enforced that kind of thinking. I'm so happy that it did.
If you think, what is the worst situation for a theatrical company that having a pandemic and a war pandemic, where the audience cannot attend to a play for 2 years? What is the, I don't know, a zombie apocalypse or a nuclear war? Well, I don't know. It's like, in your worst nightmare, is the worst thing that you can challenge, you can face for a theatrical company. And with Carlos, we face it and we create a new product, an international production during this period of time. And I think it's when you look back and see, okay, I could make it, so I don't have afraid to another situation, because I can solve this huge problem. Now is, I don't know what problem can be huge than this problem.
Yeah, yeah. So, bring me more.
Yeah, bring me more.
Me more. Bring me more. Let's see it. We did it once, let's do it again. So that's the idea. Yeah.
Carlos and Martin, thank you so much for joining me. Tickets for Artman Art are available through February 19th. So get to that. It's available in Spanish and English, which is a beauty in itself. So go see it if you can. Thank you. And I hope to talk to you, both of you, soon.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.